If you've ever been diagnosed with cancer, you'd probably do anything you can to get better. So you take on all the treatments your doctor recommends. But if you think of exercise, it might only be something you'd get back to when you're on the mend. But there's growing evidence that exercise should be front and centre during treatment as well as in rehab. If you've had to cope with a serious illness, what kind of exercise did you find beneficial at that time? Let us know on our Facebook page. In 2018, Siobhan O'Toole was diagnosed with breast cancer, and exercise was as much as part of her treatment as chemo, radiotherapy and surgery. Siobhan, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks.
Take me back to the day you were first diagnosed with breast cancer. Lots to take in. What was that first period of time like for you?
I think when you're diagnosed with anything like this, it's incredibly overwhelming and quite shocking. It's a lot of stakeholder management and trying to work out who to tell, when to tell. You're not really going to come out at work and say, hey, I've just been diagnosed. You really need to work out what's going on, and your front and centre in your mind is what treatment plan am I going to take, and trying to understand a disease that you really, honestly, most of the time know nothing about beforehand. And you have a lot of misconceptions about what that treatment might look like.
And there are a lot of doctors to deal with in quick succession, weren't there, for you?
There definitely was for me, yes.
So eventually you found a surgeon and an oncologist that you were happy with. Tell us about the treatment regime that you ended up with.
With thanks to Dr. Sarah Walrus from the St. Vincent's Kinghorn Cancer Centre, I was a part of a exercise trial as well as being part of a chemo. So during my chemo, we decided to do chemotherapy first. And during that chemotherapy, I then did exercise and then I had surgery and then I had radiation treatment.
And were you doing the exercise through all elements of that or just doing the chemo?
Through all elements, so from the point of diagnosis through down chemo. Of course, when I had surgery, they then have a restricted exercise program, but it was pretty much during radiation as well. We had to pick it back up in order to rebuild my immune system and rebuild my lean muscle mass.
And so this wasn't just a bit of cardio walking on the treadmill, but also a weights regime during your treatment. And many people who'll be listening will be thinking, what? How does that work? What was it like for you, Siobhan, doing weights while you were having this really full-on treatment?
Yeah, in a way it was actually quite empowering because a lot of things are out of your control when you've been diagnosed with an illness. You put a lot of faith in the doctors and the chemicals and a lot of things that you don't really understand. So there's very few things that you have control of during that period. But I found it very comforting to be able to do something exercise as a goal that you can achieve every day. Chemotherapy and these treatments can be quite debilitating. So it was really important to have something I could do every day that I could control and actually do. So I found it really helpful for my mental health to be able to have walked 8,000 steps a day and then to do these weights workouts 3 times a week.
And as you mentioned, Dr. Sarah Walrus was your oncologist at Sydney's St. Vincent's Hospital. She's also completing a PhD at the Garvan Institute. Sarah Walrus, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, why do you feel it's so important for patients like Siobhan to do exercise, including weights, during their treatment rather than waiting till they're on the mend?
Well, I think so. One of the important reasons is because we know that chemotherapy decondition people on treatment. So, you know, your fitness levels prior to having treatment is a lot worse coming out of treatment. So I think rather than trying to catch people after they've kind of become deconditioned, I think we should try and bring that forward, and the aim should be really to maintain their fitness levels throughout treatment, because it's so important. It also has been shown that people sort of who are fitter coming out of their treatment also have a shorter recovery time, and particularly with fatigue levels, you know, going back to work, which are very important things, and also, you know, maintaining quality of life.
And Sarah, presumably some patients would be less used to exercise or might have previous health conditions that might make it hard or just might be finding treatment too hard. Are there any patients that you would think this regime might not be appropriate for?
Yeah, so I think, you know, people who are really unwell to start with and people who are pre-terminal, you know, they're probably a population that, you know, there's a bit of caution around, and perhaps there should also, maybe some of them shouldn't actually engage in some form of exercise. But the women that I'm looking at in my particular study are women with early stage breast cancer, where the treatment aim is cure, really. So we should try and do everything that we can to help these women. And part of that is to, again, maintain these women's fitness level. And even if you haven't, and I mean, my oldest patient on the study is 72, and she hadn't done any weight training beforehand. So it's not about going in, you know, giving her the same weights that I gave Siobhan, for instance. It's about gradually building up to, you know, whatever levels you can in the end. So it's about gradually having a goal. So the women on the study would get a baseline program based on what their baseline fitness levels were, and then that would kind of get reviewed as we were going along to make sure that they constantly had resistance training so that weights didn't become too easy, for instance. So it's all very doable.
And Sarah, tell us about the research that you're drawing on when you're so confident that doing exercise and weights can help.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of the research in exercise and cancer, and I think in particularly for breast cancer, which is my area, I mean, the studies are kind of based on epidemiological or population-based studies where they've shown that, you know, the cancer-specific mortality, as in dying from your cancer, is reduced, and you see that across breast cancer, colorectal and prostate cancer quite consistently. And in breast cancer, dying from any cause, if you're more active after a breast cancer diagnosis, can be reduced up to 50%. And what's even more impressive is that we can reduce the breast cancer coming back by about a quarter if you're active after your breast cancer diagnosis. So I guess one of the things that I've been looking at and that has been looked at just somewhat in the literature is the mechanism behind this, you know, effective exercise, I suppose. So one of the things that I'm doing for my PhD is I've got mouse models of breast cancer where I'm looking at mice that are implanted with breast cancer, and then they've got little running wheels, and some of them I give chemotherapy and some are exposed to exercise at all. And what I'm looking at is basically the type of cells, not just the cancer cells, but the other type of supporting cells within their cancer to see whether or not they change. And the cells that I'm particularly interested in is the immune cells. So there is a bit of evidence already in mouse models that show that these immune cells sometimes work with the cancer, and some immune cells then work against the cancer. And it's been shown prior that exercise seems to shift these immune cells to then work against the cancer. So that's what I'm looking at again, and I'm seeing whether or not if I give exercise in combination, chemotherapy in combination with that, does that improve the environment further? So the exercise study that I'm running for women such as Siobhan who are undergoing neoadjuvant chemotherapy, which she explained, which is when you're having the chemotherapy prior to the surgery, means that I will be able to get biopsies along their treatment to see whether or not I can see similar changes in the microenvironment of the tumor, as in can I see the same type of immune cells that I can see in the mice who exercise and who had chemotherapy. So that analysis is still undergoing, but that's effectively premises of the PhD. One of the reasons why I have my patients exercising straight after the chemotherapy, which is exactly what happens, they have their chemotherapy in the chair and then they get an exercise, 45-minute exercise session with an exercise physiologist. And one of the reasons for that is because, again, in mouse models, we see that in normal, I say normal tumor, the blood vessels are very aberrant and they've got a very sort of messy blood flow. It doesn't really go from A to B, kind of goes against each other. The vessels are very leaky. And there's also pockets of tumors where there's no blood flow at all. And the theory is that perhaps it's in these pockets of tumors where there's no blood flow, that perhaps that's where the more aggressive tumor cells actually develop, and they're the ones who can then metastasize and go elsewhere in the body.
So yeah, the exercise increases the blood flow and perhaps limits that.
Yeah, correct. And it also makes the vessels kind of more normalized.
So that's one of the reasons.
Yes, sorry.
I do understand that there are some studies, some research about breast cancer survivors who've had problems doing weights after treatment. So it sounds like not everyone shares your confidence and passion for this idea. How early is this research at? What kind of stage is it at?
My study is a feasibility study, and the aim was to get 20 patients, and I've got 17 patients on the study currently. So when I get 3 more patients, then I'm going to obviously analyze all the data. But there's actually, as far as I know, there hasn't been any studies that actually show that women shouldn't be doing exercise during their chemotherapy.
Let's bring in another guest. We've been hearing from Siobhan O'Toole, who was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2018, and Dr. Sara Volroos, an oncologist at Sydney's St. Vincent's Hospital. And I'd like to welcome Associate Professor Stephen Foe. He's the head of rehabilitation and pain medicine at Sydney's St. Vincent's Hospital. Stephen, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Hilary. How are you?
Well, thanks. Now, what do we know about the benefits of exercise when it comes to the rehabilitation of cancer patients?
Well, I mean, exercise is a key component of any form of rehabilitation. And what Sarah's doing is actually giving us a bit more of an understanding of the mechanisms of how it works. Rehabilitation is more comprehensive, so the exercise occurs at the same time as the patient's getting advice on their diet, return to work, return to normal sexual function, which is a big deal in breast and prostate cancer, return to driving, managing their fatigue, and some people actually develop a fear of movement and they need a sort of psychological approach prior or together with the exercise to teach them that actually doing any exercise doesn't mean that the cancer will spread or anything like that. In fact, it's the opposite. The thing that you referred to before about whether exercise can be deleterious is one small study that showed that exercising somebody's shoulder or arm straight after breast cancer surgery made that arm a bit more painful. So the idea is not to exercise the arm straight after surgery on the breast for about 2 weeks. That doesn't mean the rest of the body can't exercise or the other arm. And certainly, you know, that's what we try and do.
And Stephen, you did a 2011 study looking at this. What did you find?
Yeah. Well, we found a couple of interesting things. It was a retrospective study, so it's sort of epidemiological. But what we found is that people who came into our rehab unit and responded to exercise actually had longer survivorships. So they lived for longer than the groups who didn't and couldn't tolerate the exercise. And then what we actually found when we drilled down into that was that there was a limit to when people got to a certain level of capacity for exercise. Once they reached that level, they fell into the group that survived longer. So as Sarah was sort of implying, exercise has a role in survivorship, helping you live for longer, preventing recurrences. And the other thing, which I think is quite interesting, is that a lot of people who come to rehabilitation following their diagnosis or treatment of cancer, about 30% of them actually end up being readmitted to the acute hospital with a complication. But when you do exercise, it drops by half to about 17%. So a lot of people might be thinking, look, you know, you feel terrible. What, you know, exercise is the last thing you would want to do. But in fact, it has been shown that no matter how fatigued you are, actually walking or doing some gentle exercise and then building up actually is the best antidote to fatigue.
And so, Stephen, I do have to say that there were only 73 participants over 7 years in that study. Mm-hmm. How much can you really tell from such a small sample size?
Well, you're absolutely right. It's a retrospective study. And one of the reasons is that a lot of people came to us with conditions associated with the cancer, but not the cancer. For instance, they had a cancer and then they fell over and broke their hip. And those people we had to take out of the study. So we only had people who were directly referred to us One of the reasons is that, unlike now, oncologists were very fearful of referring people for exercise, not really based on anything more than the concept that their patients were vulnerable to all sorts of things. And, doctors are humans and they get fearful too for their patients. So when there's a massive change in thinking, it takes time to translate that. So that's why there was such a small number. We're starting another study now, hoping to raise enough money to actually see whether doing it more proactively will give us a better result.
And Stephen, later this week you'll be delivering a speech at a key pain conference about the benefits of exercise for cancer patients. Does exercise have any impact on the pain that cancer survivors are experiencing?
Yeah, absolutely. Most pain will decrease by up to 50% with an exercise program. And as Sarah indicated and Siobhan indicated, exercise has to be prescribed for cancer patients because older people, they're not going to lift 500 kilogram weights, right? So they're going to have to build up to it slowly and they're going to have to start a different sort of regime. The second thing is that normal treatment of any non-cancer pain involves exercise. Because as soon as you get pain, a lot of people get frightened to move. They misinterpret the pain as a recurrence of their cancer or breaking a bone or something like that. And so to sort of get over that hump and say, look, this is sort of normal and I've just got to push through it a little bit, takes a little bit of time. Now, pain clinics are perfectly set up for that because psychologists work together with exercise physiologists and physiotherapists to sort of help people understand they have to pace their exercise, they shouldn't be frightened of it. And at St Vincent's, we've also developed an online pain management tool for people in the country who don't have really good access to exercise and exercise physiologists and physiotherapists and psychologists.
And as we know, those access issues can have a real effect on cancer survival rates. Siobhan O'Toole, you've raised more than $40,000 towards this pilot trial that Stephen mentioned that will aim to place at least 20 cancer patients on an exercise regime during their treatment. That is very impressive. How did you manage that?
It was really with the support of the community. I'm lucky enough to live in Bondi and be a part of Bondi Surf Clubs and also a part of the Bondi Icebergs community. And so as a part of a series, we did the first fundraiser was really an information talk where what I wanted to do was share a part of my story with the broader community that had been supporting me through my journey. And so I really wanted them to understand, why did I exercise? Why did I do all of these things? And so I actually asked Dr. Sarah to come along and speak at North Bondi, and Dr. Karen Phelps came along, and Dr. Joe Tui, who's my radiation oncologist, and we came along and had a fundraising event that was well supported by, we got donations for raffles, and we fundraised money that way, and then friends and family, and then I held an event recently at Icebergs, which was just on the 22nd of September, which was a lap for cancer, and so we did a kind of like a mini swimathon, but it was really about engaging the Icebergs community, as there were so many people from Icebergs who have suffered through cancer, as in any community, and when it comes down to it, we have a lot of support through the medical system, which is amazing for treatment, but recovery is quite a community-based activity, and you really need your friends and that broader community to help you recover. And so Icebergs helped me and put on an event, and they actually donated $10,000 to the cause as well, which is just incredible and very heartwarming.
Indeed.
To have felt so much support.
Indeed. And Dr. Sarah Volroos, if the findings of the study are positive, what would you like to see come out of it ideally?
Well, ideally, I'd like to do a large randomized control trial and really look at, the mechanisms which requires a lot of funding. So I guess the pilot study is just to try and get some baseline results and a bit of leverage to then apply for, grants for a larger study. That's the big aim.
And Siobhan O'Toole, what's your relationship like now with your body and with exercise?
Well, look, thanks to Dr. Sarr and also to Professor Elgin Lim, who supported us through this process and put us into it. I actually still have weights at home. And so I'm still lifting weights three times a week at home. I was very proud of the fact that I actually lifted heavier weights at the end of chemo, which I'm not sure how. But I'm still exercising. And I actually, as a part of my goal, instead of focusing on doing a big endurance race or something like that, which I think a lot of people try and do after after something traumatic, I'm actually working on getting my my swim time down. So I'm trying to get a gold medallion for surf life saving swim time, which is to get an 800 meters in 14 minutes. So at the moment, I'm really focused on just swimming, which is incredibly important for the recovery after radiation, especially of the tissue around that's impacted by radiation. I'm still exercising, and I must admit that it's tricky to, always fit it in. Like you say, it's hard, but it's a choice. And that choice is that I know from the science and from the information that Dr. Fo and also Dr. Walrus have provided me that I have a better chance of stopping the cancer, not getting a recurrence by exercising. And so of all the things that you can do, there's no pill that I could take that would have that kind of result. So it's not really a choice. You just get up and you look at the weights and you take all the decisions out of your mind, of all the excuses out, and you just have to lift them.
And this obviously has a huge positive impact on your sense of well-being as well. I'm really grateful to you for coming on to Life Matters today to tell us more about it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Siobhan O'Toole was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2018. She's now fundraising for that pilot exercise program developed by St Vincent's Oncology and Rehab Teams. For more information on that fundraising, head to the Life Matters homepage. Dr. Sarr Walrus joined us too. She's an oncologist at Sydney's St Vincent's Hospital, and Associate Professor Stephen Fo is the head of Rehabilitation and Pain Medicine at St Vincent's Hospital in Sydney.